chapter 12, and I had every intention of speaking from that. We were looking at a second portion of the message from last Sunday morning, but we've had a number of different events that have occurred this week, and I believe it's appropriate for us to turn our attention in another direction. If you would take your Bibles and go with me to Romans chapter 8 this morning. Romans chapter 8, as most of you or many of you probably know, we had the tragic passing of Pastor Jack Ramos's son this week. We've had a number of folks that are connected with our ministry, family members and friends that live out of state that have recently tested positive for COVID. So we have that as a recurring matter that is upon so many different hearts and folks that struggle with it to differing lengths. Some have been hospitalized and dealing with a number of issues there. We, of course, have the nature of the elections and everything that's occurring in our nation at this time and all that is before us there. And so there's much on the much on our plate, if I could say it that way. There's much to consider and so forth. And so I believe it's appropriate for us to turn our attention to a different passage this morning. And we'll come back to Luke chapter 12. And short of the Lord's coming, we'll look forward to finishing up that chapter and moving into chapter 13. But I want to read to you a passage this morning and just share a few thoughts with you today, things that have been upon my heart over the course of the last 48 hours, and things that I believe would be helpful for each one of us as we face many things. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, of course, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans that were scattered there. And the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Would you direct your attention this morning to this text? And we'll begin looking at the expanded section of the text, and then we'll focus in on verse number 28. But I'd ask you to bow your head and close your eyes and have a time of prayer with me this morning as we consider this section of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for all that you've done in the course of the last 48 to 72 hours. And Lord, it is very hard for us from this perspective to fully comprehend all that is said in this passage. But I do pray that you would help us to dwell upon the things that have been written in the Word of God, for they have been written for our learning. And I pray for each of our young people that were in the academy with Daniel. We pray for each of the family members that have been affected by so many illnesses and then even the passing of loved ones. And it seems almost on a daily basis I get updates from folks in our church that have loved ones that are distant from us that are dealing with COVID and illnesses, Lord. And then on top of this, we have the matter of our elections here in the United States. and the prospect of a different president. Lord, we don't always understand all that is transpiring, but we come back to the sure word that is given to us here. And I'm so thankful that the Word of God directs us in these times. Lord, I pray that you would direct my thoughts as I convey the truth of Scripture today. Would you empower me and cleanse me, Lord? And I pray that I'd be a vessel that would be used even this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We want to spend our time, the balance of our time, in verse number 28. But I want you to see two things that are before us this morning that make verse 28 the reality or the possibility. I want you to notice, first of all, the salvation that is in Christ. Salvation that is in Christ. Would you look at verse number 32 and following? The Bible says, "He," that's speaking of the Father, "that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." The Bible says that we have a faithful high priest. If you can imagine what it was once like there in the time of the Old Testament and the children of Israel, as they would watch that high priest go into the Holy of Holies one day a year, and they would trust that that high priest would go in such a fashion as to have their own sins forgiven, and they would go in to the Holy of Holies and ask for the forgiveness of all the people of Israel. And of course, the Lamb's blood was shed, and that was done on a yearly basis, and they recognized that that was but a precursor to the Lamb that would come. It was a foreshadowing. It was a covering, or a temporary covering. But the Word of God tells us in John chapter 3 and verse number 16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible tells us that we are not saved by our own righteousness. We're not saved by the things that we can do and things that we can give and the areas in which we can be socially active and involved in different needs around the community and everything like that. We're not saved by our good works. We're not saved by the baptismal waters. There's nothing special that can wash away sins when an individual would follow the Lord in believer's baptism. There's no forgiving powers in the water there that is there in the baptistry. But the Bible says that God the Father so loved each and every one of you that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Word of God tells us that we are saved not with gold and silver and precious stones as though it can be purchased. We're saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now just imagine what it is like for an individual to come to Christ and to say that they're going to add something from their good works to the finished work of Christ on the cross. So imagine how offensive it is to Almighty God for us to come to him and to say to him, here's all of my good works, add this to what Christ did. Imagine how offensive it would be to a holy God to say, now add my baptism to what Christ has done on the cross, or add all of these good works that I've done in my life, add that to what Christ has done on the cross. No, the Word of God tells us that Christ died on the cross, and as Christ hung there on that cross, he says, "It is finished." You see, my friend, it's not about what you can do to earn eternal life. It is about what Christ has already done. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So what must I do? The Bible says with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe that Jesus Christ has died, and in his death he has conquered death. He has provided salvation for all that would come to him. So, well, you don't know all that I've done in my life, or all that's been a negative in my life. You don't know the nature of all the sin in my life, Pastor. You don't know everything that's behind me. Well, you know, in the Word of God, we find murderers that trusted Christ and were saved. We find adulterers that trusted Christ and were saved. We find drunkards that were that trusted Christ and were saved. And my friend, that list could go on and on and on, because the Bible says without Christ's death on the cross, we are lost in our sins. And so the first thing that we understand before we get to verse number 28 is that salvation has been provided in Christ. Now, let me show you something here in Matthew chapter 7. Would you flip back there with me for just a moment? Matthew chapter 7. I think this is very important for us to understand as we consider the next point and transition from the salvation that is in Christ to the fact that there is nothing that can separate us from Christ. So I want you to see something very key. This is the end of the Sermon on the Mount. If you have your Bibles there with you, I want you to see this word for word. But Christ walks through so much in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And literally, we could end every single message that we ever preach with this closing section of the Word of God. Of course, Christ is the greatest preacher that has ever preached. And He knew the nature of everyone that sat in His audience. No matter the audience, He knew everyone individually. He knew their need of the hour. He knew the decisions that they needed to make. Now, I can stand before you on a weekly basis, but there's no way that I have the knowledge of your life as Christ had the knowledge of His audience. And He knew exactly what every one of them were facing at that exact moment. And in His closing section here on the Sermon on the Mount, after chapters 5 and 6 and all of the rich truth that's been given, everything that's been defined from the nature of the law and what Christ wanted them to do now, Christ wraps up the message in Matthew chapter 7 with an unbelievable illustration. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 24. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 24. This is for everyone. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What I would desire for you to see as we transition there in Romans chapter 8 from the nature of our salvation in Christ to the issue of separation from Christ, I want you to understand this morning that knowing Christ as our Savior does not make us immune to the storms of life. Oh, I wished I could stand before people today and say that if you'll come this morning and put your faith and trust in Christ, that from this day forward, it would be a bed of roses and there will be no more difficulty in your life. But my friend, I believe, as you well know, that we could go around the room and we could testify of two things this morning. We could testify of the time frame in which we came to know Christ, and then we could also testify of the many storms that we've been through since the time frame of our salvation. You see, when you look down at the passage, Christ clearly indicates that both entities, the believer and the unbeliever, are both going to go through times of storm. Perhaps for you, the time of storm has been the loss of a child in a premature fashion. As I was with Pastor Jack and Miss Esther, the statement was made somewhere in the overnight hours that a parent is not prepared for a child to go into eternity before they do. And I know that as we map our lives out, that we have the assumption that we will live and we'll finish our life, and then our children will outlive us, and then our grandchildren. And so when you go through the nature of the tragic passing of a youngster, it's never in your thinking that that would be the storm that you would go through. But we've had many through the years that have experienced that difficult issue. We have many that have dealt with the matter of cancer. We've had many in recent days that have dealt with the nature of COVID. I know for my own family, it's affected us. It's affected my parents. It's affected my wife's parents. And we know the impact that it has. And at one point in time, in one of our parents, it did not look as though that they would survive. And so we've been through that difficult water. For some, it's been family issues, and perhaps you've had a sibling that's gone into eternity without Christ. Perhaps you have a sibling that is living the life of a prodigal, and you've spent every night in prayer begging God to work on their behalf. And you know what it's like to have the individual that's connected to your family that's in and out of rehab and dealing with all different kinds of things, perhaps incarceration. And you say, Pastor, I just don't know if I can take this storm again. If we went around the audience this morning, no doubt we'd hear a lot of different things. And I say to each and every one of us this morning that we understand that both the people that are in Christ and the people that still are yet to know Christ, they're all going to go through storms. But there is a difference. And this is the segue to the second part of our understanding back in verse number 28. Look again with me if you would. The Bible says that in verse number 25, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Would you look down then at the next verse, verse number 27, or a couple verses away. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew. All the same ingredients. Pastor, my marriage is under difficulty. My home is under difficulty. My life, my spouse, my siblings, my children, they're under difficulty. We're in the midst of a storm. Perhaps it's the most difficult storm that you've ever been through. Look at the difference between those that are still without Christ. And the Bible says the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. All the same things. But the difference is that it fell. And great was the fall of it. Would you turn back with me again to Romans chapter number 8? And would you read again the transition from the salvation that is in Christ to the fact that nothing shall separate us? Would you look at verse number 35? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Boy, the first one that I'd go to is the devil himself. Boy, the devil is the great accuser of mankind, or of those that know Christ and all of mankind. He is the great accuser. We have the example of that there in the book of Job. And right there in those entry points in the book of Job, we find Satan going before God and saying, God, the only reason Job is serving you is because he's been blessed with all of these goods. But you take away all those goods, and I tell you what, he's going to curse your name. Boy, in just a matter of a few short hours, Job lost his 10 children. And the news came that all of his children had died. Then the news came that he lost all of his fortune. The cattle had been ransacked. Then the news came that he'd lost everything. And his one thing upon another. I believe that you would agree with me that the Bible says that in Job's life the rains came and the winds beat upon the house. But the Bible says that for Job, he said, I will not curse the name of Almighty God. In fact, he said, blessed be the name of God. His own wife in despair says, why don't we just curse God and die? And I can't imagine that I would have a much more spiritual response than what even Job's wife said. But Job in his integrity responded. And again, I know the wording is not there in Job, but it's the same theme. Honey, who is going to separate us from the love of Christ? I know what we're facing at the moment. I know and understand that now Satan is our adversary and he will work against us. in every way, shape, or form that he can. I know he's opposed to us. But I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand for me in that day. And so where Satan would be the great accuser, and Satan would do all that he can, we know that there's an everlasting God who's holding back his power. And even the Father said to Satan in this time frame, I know my servant Job. And you can only go so far. And Satan did everything he could against Job in trying to separate him from the love of Christ. But it would not happen. Oh, I believe Satan is definitely one that would separate us from the love of Christ. The Bible goes on to say, shall tribulation separate us from the love of Christ? Sometime take a moment, and perhaps if you're taking notes this morning, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and everything that the Apostle Paul went through as he served Christ and went from city to city to preach the truth, and people began to hound him. They at one point in time left him for dead. They couldn't stand the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And he says, shall tribulation? He knew what that meant. Shall distress? The letting him down in a basket that he might escape those that are trying to kill him? Shall persecution or famine? Nakedness or peril or sword? Verse number 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Boy, I tell you what, when you digest the length and breadth of just that verse and then you move into verse number 39, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The love of God is an enclosure beyond anything that we can ask or think. Because of the salvation in Christ. And can I state this to you this morning? If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. I believe with all of my heart that we're going to face the same things, but I tell you what, Jesus Christ is on board my ship in the midst of the storms. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're flying or you're sailing solo. And in all truth this morning, the best thing you can do is ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and take command of your life and allow Him to guide the ship. Salvation in Christ, and then the fact that nothing shall separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ. Nothing. And he details all of that in those verses. Now let's return to verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Boy, I tell you what, this verse is so full of wealth and truth for every single one of us, but it is very difficult to really address when you're in the midst of the trial. So when you're going through the trial and I walk up to you and say, hey, Romans 8:28, boy, I tell you what, it's easy for me to say, it's a very difficult path for us to walk. And of course, each one has probably been through a different type of trial, a different type of issue. But I want to use these two words as we describe verse number 28. Calm assurance. Everything about this verse speaks to calm assurance. Let's look at the very opening. We know. Oh, there's a lot of things that I don't know. But based upon my salvation in Christ, and based upon the fact that there is no separation from Christ, because I am in Christ, we know. Do you know the time to know this is right now? Because you do not know what is ahead. Last week, the ministerial staff took me out for my birthday, and we sat around speaking about a lot of different things and just talking about the past and different experiences we've had in the ministry. We just sat around the lunch table and we spent an hour and a half or so just conversing and relaying different things. But as we sat around that table, we did not know where we would be in the very next week and what we would be dealing with. The passing of a 15-year-old young man. And so we shared some frivolity. We laughed at some different things that were in our past and experiences that we've had and places we've been and things that we've done in the ministry. We laughed and carried on and so forth. But we didn't know what was ahead on that Thursday as compared to the coming Thursday. You see, I do not know what the next week holds. I don't know what the next month holds. But according to verse number 28, there is something that all of us can know, and it is this. We know calm assurance. Look at the next words. That all things everything. Oh, Pastor, but not this, right? Oh, but not this. Oh, but not this. Oh, but not this. Oh, but not this. No, we know that all things work together. Hey, Joseph, was that a fun day when your brothers sold you into slavery? And you went with a crew of Ishmaelites down to a land that you did not know, and you got put up on a pedestal, and some passing rich, wealthy individual came by and said, I'll bid on that man, and took him in the highest bid and brought him into the house and made him a slave. Hey, Joseph, was that palatable? Daniel, was that palatable? When they took you from your homeland and brought you into Babylon, was that palatable? Hey, Esther, was that palatable when you saw that there was a decree that all of your family and all of your people would be destroyed on a certain day? Hey, was that palatable? Well, the Bible says that all things work together for good. So what are you sitting before me this morning? You are a product of the all things. You sit before me with everything that you've had in your past, and you sit before me as the combination of the ingredients of the all things. Now, if you and I were to go back to the house today and we were to make some different things and we pulled together the ingredients that form different things, we would understand that the nature of some of those individual ingredients are not so palatable. And if you just said to yourself, you know, I'm just going to take in all the ingredients one by one, and I'll trust that in the end, it tastes like the wonderful cake that I believe I'm going to be making. Oh my goodness, if you did that, it'd be horrible. If you begin to take in those things one by one, and then just trust that as you hold it in your mouth and shake your head back and forth, that it will wind up with a wonderful flavor and a great time of joy and blessing, and boy, doesn't that taste good? Oh, I tell you what, when we walk through some of these all things, we'd have to agree that many of them have not been very palatable. Oh, see, I look back through my years and I see the all things and I say, oh my goodness, some of these all things. How in the world did we go through those things? But I tell you what, when you look back at the totality of all the ingredients that were necessary to make the cake that tastes so good, we say, Lord, thank you for the ingredients. Have you had those long nights where you could not sleep? Have you had those nights of prayer where the headache was so bad? Have you had those nights where the tears just continued to flow? Have you had those time frames where you thought, okay, I'm fine. I'm going to be able to deal with this. I'm going to have the victory out of this. And yet the tears continue to flow. Have you had that kind of sleepless event? And you look back now and you say, Pastor, why are you bringing up all the all things? Because I want you to see the next words. Work together. You know, when I was a kid growing up, my parents could have left the training wheels on my bike. And I could have just lived the rest of my life with training wheels on my bike. You'd perhaps see me riding down alongside the Fairfax County Parkway and you'd see my bike and my big 10-speed bike and you'd see the training wheels and you'd say, that's kind of odd. Why would they do that? Well, I lived with the training wheels for a time. And I, much like you in learning to ride a bike, went back and forth, side to side, and I'd hear the training wheels catch. But at some point in time, my dad said, okay, I think you've got enough with the training wheels. I'm going to take them off. Oh, you can crash when you take them off. And you can. God has done that in so many lives where we're spiritually moving to meat. And God says, listen, you've drunk milk long enough. You're going to move to meat and you're going to go through some difficult times because I'm going to then use those things in your life and I'm going to use those things to be a blessing and a help to someone else's life. And so we could think for ourselves, you know what? I'm just going to spiritually live with the training wheels on the rest of my life. But God has chosen in so many cases to say, hey, the training wheels are going to come off. And you may have a difficult crash here or a difficult issue here, but I'm going to pull the training wheels off because I want you to trust me. To know that all things are working together. They're being fit into place. There's no way that they can be in place unless I am bringing the work about. And I go back to the two words again. Calm assurance. We know that all things work together. And then the next words, for good. So this is the 17th of January in 2021. And I do not know how God is going to work what has happened in the previous week. I don't know how he's going to work it out for his good or for our good and his glory. I do not know. But I know this. When I arrive home in heaven, if I haven't understood it here on this side, I'll understand it better by and by. Why? Because there's calm assurance in God's orchestration of bringing all of these things together that you and I might learn, that we might grow, and that we might be what God would have us to be. Say, Pastor, I just want to live a life with no problems. I want to live a life that has no valleys. I want to live a life that has absolute, just glorifying days. A wise man once said, all sunshine makes a desert. And I'll tell you this. God has worked much more through the difficulties in my life in teaching me what he wants me to learn that I might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ than he ever taught me in winning the trophy. If you'll understand how I'm saying that. Say, hey, you walked away with a great victory. You're on the mountaintop. Isn't this the time of real learning? No, because in those times I was more than likely dependent upon myself and thinking that I had really done something. But when you walk through the valley and you turn your attention to Almighty God, you realize that without Him, we can do nothing. See, I don't know exactly what your all things are right now. I believe everyone in the audience could probably begin to share some all things. Pastor, I wish this had never come into my life. Well, God says He's taking each one of those ingredients and He uses just the right amount at just the right time, because in the end, we recognize He's done all these things for our good and His glory. My dear friend, our church family has suffered a great loss this week. And we're going to be walking through it in the coming days with a funeral service. Our academy is going to be walking through it in the coming days. But I'm confident of this. I'm confident that our God is on the throne. And I'm confident that the Lord will protect. And I'm confident in what He says here in Romans chapter 8 about the nature of our salvation and the fact that nothing can separate us from our God. And with those two things in mind, I know with calm assurance. That all things work together for good. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, can I just encourage you? You're walking through life with a ship that has no real captain. And you are going to face trials and you're going to face storms, and I'm going to face trials and I'm going to face storms. But I have a captain that's guiding my ship. Because way back in 1976, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save me from my sins. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ directing your life as of yet, then today's the day. And know this, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, nothing shall separate you from the love of God. Calm assurance. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You and praise You for Your written word. And I know in the darkness of trials, it's one thing to be able to make statements and to quote the given verse. But boy, I tell you, when you're the one that is in the middle of the storm, and the winds begin to beat, and the waves begin to howl, it seems as though anything and everything could separate you from the love of Christ. And boy, Satan and the flesh and the world sure want to do all that they can to beat upon the Christian's home. They want division in the home. They want matters to just bring down the home. The Bible says that the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He wants to leave no shred of evidence of what once existed. He wants to separate us from the love of Christ. I'm thankful for what's been written in this word, because it's been written for our learning. And I'm thankful, Lord, that we are able to look at the lives of so many, specifically at the life of Job. Say, Lord, how can I make it through this trial? How can I make it through this ingredient? I don't have any more tears to shed. My headache is so bad and the sleep has just escaped me. Lord, I just don't know what is ahead. Praise the Lord for Romans 8:28. We have calm assurance. All things work together for good. Lord, in the quietness of the moment and with all that we have on our deck as a church family, we have those that are in the hospital and recovering from surgeries. We have the weight of those that have been affected by COVID, the nature of our country. And of course, we have the very unexpected passing of a dear 15-year-old young man. A classmate, a son, a grandson, a student. So many different ways that we could go in considering the life of Daniel. I just pray, Father, that in this time of invitation, we would cast all of our cares upon You. Because we know You care for us. If there be one today that does not know the Lord as their Savior, would You convict them of their sin and draw them to Yourself that they might be saved today, that they might give the leadership of their life's ship to the Lord Jesus Christ even today. Perhaps they've been trying religion and their own righteousness or even riches, but today's the day that they come to Jesus Christ. Would You work as only You can, I pray, in Jesus' name.